Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kavaza, and for today, we're going to be talking about the economic opportunities that are available in the country of Botswana. Now, for many people, you'll know that Botswana and South Africa have had a very good economic relationship, for decades. But it doesn't mean that the grindstone has been, with it. There's so much opportunity in there. And for today, we're going to be getting some insight into what those opportunities look like in 2024. To make sense of it, to help us, navigate, to also unpack some of those opportunities, we are joined by Bobo Senosi, who is a director for international business and South Africa over at the Botswana Investment and Trade Center. And then we're also joined by Taona Kokera, who is Director for Infrastructure Finance Advisory for Africa over at Forbes Mazars. Gentlemen, greetings to you today.
Good afternoon, sir.
Mr. Senosi, I'm going to start with you, on this one. I'm talking to you on the sidelines of a summit, a conference, around some of the opportunities around doing business in Botswana that's been hosted by Forbes Mazars, sat in on a couple of the sessions, just, hearing some of the things that were happening. I think we heard about, what's going on with the likes of Mascom, and there was a lot that was said about chicken wings and, all of, this type of thing. For yourself, if you were to, because I'm sure this is something you're doing in your job on a daily basis, when someone says, I'm interested in Botswana, what's available to me? Where do you begin that conversation?
Great. No, thank you for that question. We have a long-term vision as a country called Vision 2036, which aspires to make us a high-income economy by then. So it has identified the engines of growth, therefore, which we need to develop as a country, so that we bridge the inequality gap, we diversify the economy, we substitute imports, and we create sustainable job opportunities. Yeah. So what are those sectors? Agriculture. It's still in its formative stages. We are only sufficient in terms of beef and chicken. So everything else, we consume more than we produce, which means we import food. We are sitting on land the size of France or the size of the state of Texas in the US. Hence why government has come up with a lot of support programs to empower Botswana to go into farming. They are given free seeds. They are given every rainy season, they are given free seeds. They are given free fertilizer. You are assisted with to fence your farm. You are subsidized to acquire a tractor. So there's a lot that government is really doing to increase agricultural output. It's not only at a primary level that we're looking at promoting agriculture. Secondary level, embracing technology, as well as, services which are used in agriculture, insurance, banking. There are a lot of opportunities because we don't have a lot of players in that regard. Similarly, manufacturing, we have a phenomenal import bill which needs to be substituted. A lot of opportunities to import substitute in country. Mining, we need suppliers to service our mines from within Botswana. Because if they fly in, are contracted, go out, we're basically exporting jobs out of the country. So that is why our mines, through the Botswana Chamber of Mines, are leveraging on the combined spending power to make sure that we domicile mining supply chain companies to be domiciled in Botswana and service our companies, mining companies from within Botswana. We have financial services. We have a fiscal framework which targets the financial services sector in its entirety, collective investment undertakings, insurance, reinsurance, international banks, multinationals. They can hub in Botswana under the international financial services and benefit from the efficiency gains which it brings. And then tourism, of course, as well. We have a varied tourism offering. I mean, we are home to the largest concentration of African elephants anywhere in the world. We have the Okavango Delta, the largest inland delta in the world, a World Heritage Site. We have Makgadikgadi salt pans, which is apparently is the cradle of mankind. This is where humanity started. Because the water from the Okavango, which comes all the way from Angola Highlands.
Yeah.
Once that place, Makgadikgadi, was the biggest inland lake in the world. We have the Kalahari Desert for the adventure tourists, if you want to explore it. So we have a lot. And I mean, about, I think they say 20 to 40, 30% of Botswana is just reserved for game parks. Yeah, that's how we embrace sustainability in the tourism sector. Yeah, and we through manufacturing as well, we also want to plug into global value chains like the automotive sector here.
Yeah.
I mean, we have two good companies which do world-class wiring harnesses, which goes into automobiles here. So we want to broaden that and see what else can be done from Botswana to feed into the South Africa auto clusters, which we can service overnight. I mean, Pretoria is 375 kilometers where you have VW. Devon is 1,000 kilometers from Botswana where you have Toyota. PE, another 1,000 where you have VW and Mercedes. So because we are one market, Southern African Customs Union, overnight you can supply into these auto clusters. So we also want to vertically integrate into global value chains.
All right. Now, I like the fact, one of my favorite things about Botswana is the fact that going from Johannesburg to Gaborone is one of the shortest flights that is possibly available. I think you could be there less than an hour. Obviously it depends, but it's one of the shortest flights, you know, that's available. Mm-hmm. I've been to the country and, you know, seen what it has to offer on a number of occasions. And I'm happy to say that I've enjoyed the wildlife. You know, on holiday, it's at one of your reserves. Mm-hmm. Sort of closer to the Plumtree border side.
Yes.
Not necessarily, you know, Okavango, but spent, you know, some days in that part, so quite familiar, you know, with the wildlife. So happy to definitely hear about that. But I want to bring Tawona in, you know, for a moment to get an understanding of Bobo has painted a good picture for us holistically, you know, about how Botswana is thinking about itself. From your view, you know, private sector player, all of that, there's obviously this big question of, you know, an economy beyond the diamond sector and all of that stuff. How are you seeing that? How are you seeing the opportunities in that country as well?
So I think for me, and specifically in the mandate that I have in the firm, I lead the energy and infrastructure finance advisory service line. So I think the key levers that you require for you to build an economy, build and sustain an economy, is a solid infrastructure base. And I would say the opportunities are broad and diverse. And the focus is on enhancing economic growth, improving the quality of life for the citizens. And the key areas that one would look at as the opportunities are the energy, which is renewable energy, strengthening the grid. You look at your transport, road and rail, as well as the air infrastructure, making sure that there's adequate water and sanitation, the telecoms, enhancing the fifth industrial revolution and the tech business, and ensuring that there's, you know, adequate housing, because housing is a constitutional right, healthcare infrastructure, education, tourism. So this, when put together, I would say it is these are opportunities that align with the Vision 2036 and the National Development Plan 11 that prioritize sustainable economic diversification and infrastructure development. And the question is, how does private players come in to play a role both in industry and on infrastructure? So there are a lot of public-private partnerships that are potentially are coming up in developing most of these infrastructures. We see them on the energy front, some IPPs that have been awarded that are in construction, some, and some are in development stage. So to an extent, I would say the private sector is bringing pockets of capital that could be utilized at the back of the sovereign support structure in order to build key infrastructure, I would say, units that are important in order to sustain and develop the manufacturing industry. But I think most importantly, you see, any, I would say, initiative that is not centered around the people is not a great initiative. But I would say the most important aspect about everything is that it has to improve the quality of life of the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I like the fact that Tawana brings up the public-private, you know, partnerships, because for a lot of, you know, business studies in the region, there's often a look at Botswana as being one of the model examples, you know, of public-private partnerships, especially with what happened, you know, in the diamond sector. But when it comes to, you know, the rest of the industries and the rest of the economy, what we're now talking about, transport, agriculture, mining, etc. How are you guys thinking around, you know, that type of thing? And I guess the question is, you know, do you still sort of, does Botswana government sort of still see an opportunity to have, you know, a role to, as a player, you know, on the field, or are you sort of more interested in in just creating an enabling environment, you know, for private players to play on the field?
Yeah. Well, we operate a free market economy in Botswana. Yeah. So the role of government is not to go into business, but to create an enabling environment for the private sector to flourish in Botswana. Yeah. That is why you find that the investment climate is characterized by that low, open, liberal, low-tax environment where there are no exchange controls.
Yeah.
To encourage manufacturing to internationalize and expand into Botswana. Make it easy such that if you can't do business in Botswana, then you can't do business anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, resources are becoming scarce. Right now, our biggest contributor to government revenue is on a downturn. The diamond sales are not doing very well. So that becomes a challenge. And when that becomes a challenge, it opens up opportunities for government to collaborate with the private sector to ensure that there's development. We have been very slow to embrace public-private partnerships, but there's a unit in the Ministry of Finance which is spearheading this. They are busy crafting the law. So
and certain projects have been earmarked for public-private partnership, like the Trans-Kalahari railway line. In recognition of the fact that resources are becoming scarce. Yeah, so government cannot go it alone in delivering services to its citizenry. So it's important that we have partnerships with the private sector to assist bridge the infrastructure deficit, you know, things like providing water to the people, building roads. So there are a lot of opportunities where government can collaborate with the private sector. And as a country, we also don't like burdening ourselves with a lot of debt.
Yeah.
So in fact, we never are in debt more than 40% of government debt. So you will find that here, there, when other countries offer concessional loans, we will also take that, but not to the extent that other countries on the continent are doing.
Where
they can even allow foreign labor to come in and execute those simple jobs which an ordinary citizen can do.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you are already, that you're touching on that point, because one of the things I was just going to follow up with is you guys are probably in constant communication with people that are interested in doing business in Botswana, but keen to get a sense of where is the interest actually coming from? Is it, are you seeing sort of more from internally, let's say businesses in Botswana saying we want to expand what we're doing? Is it maybe people and organizations in the region, you know, maybe surrounding countries, or is it maybe even just broader outside of Africa type of players that are most interested in taking up the opportunity?
Yeah, I think the further away we go from Africa, the more we realize that Botswana was not known. Hence why we set up the Brand Botswana Initiative.
Yeah.
So that Botswana is known as a place to live in, visit for tourism, invest in. Now, the current president, who's also the chief marketer of the country, has really done a sterling job in putting Botswana out there and marketing the country. So, in as much as during COVID, we focused on domestic investment, visited them, understood where their challenges lied, and assisted them to expand. We are benefiting a lot from His Excellency's foreign travels to the likes of, the World Economic Forum in Davos. We hosted, because of him being at the forefront, the US-Africa Summit. We are also starting to generate a lot of inquiries from internationally.
Yeah.
And because these engagements or forums, African countries also participate in them. When we market our offering, investment offering, the continent, investors in the continent are also warming up to us. So we are getting inquiries all over, domestic and international.
Yeah. Nice. Definitely good to hear on that front. I recently had the opportunity to be in East Africa, and you know, I was engaging with a couple of people. And one of the things that we agreed on is that a number of African countries, the marketing needs to be improved, on that, and that there are a number of countries that benefit from just being well known on the global stage, and people want to do business with them, not because they're doing anything crazy or shooting the lights out, but simply because people know them for a particular industry sector, or maybe it's even a
a famous business person or a platform, you know, that then drives a lot of interest to that country. Tawana, your take on the marketing of a Botswana?
I think perception is reality. And fundraising, I mean, for an economy or inviting business is an art, it's a science, and it's psychology. And the three needs to be pulled together in order for the global economy to have interest in the country. Like you rightfully said, I don't think we do a great job in telling a story about how great our continent is. And also, I think a packaging of the story in terms of where the need for an investment is the most critical thing that's necessary for us to be able to attract investors in jurisdictions. But he rightfully said, the president and the team have done a great job in terms of marketing the country, and it's been put on a global platform. Everybody talks about how easy it is to do business in Botswana. And that in itself, you know, is a plus. And if you can't do business in Botswana, you can't do business anywhere else in the world. So that is a plus from our end.
You know, very good one from that point of view. And the other thing that I'm also then curious about, Bobo, is how is internally, when it comes to all of this, obviously you and I are sitting in South Africa, but on an internal level, businesses in South Africa, how embracing are they of that effort, you know, to get that outside consensus into the country? Because sometimes what tends to happen is you have internal players saying, why are we focusing outside when you guys could be, you know, growing, you know, what's on the inside?
Yeah, you know, if you follow the BRICS agenda, BRICS member countries, the traditional BRICS member countries, before these new ones are about to get on board, they've been very active in expanding on the continent to such an extent that I think of all the countries, South Africa is not expanding as much as China and Brazil and India. They surpass the investments South Africa is making on the continent. But that doesn't mean South Africa is not expanding on the continent. So we are saying, let us, because we are centrally located and therefore closer to sub-Saharan Africa, also position ourselves as a hub for South African countries, I mean companies, which want to do business with Upper Southern Africa. For instance, companies which are in mining supply, and maybe because there's one who we are engaging with, they refurbish underground mining machinery and sell it to Zambia and DRC. Because rather than having all those machines come all the way to South Africa, because we also have a good mining base, they are keen to roll out this service in Botswana, servicing machines bought in Botswana and those which are from Zambia and DRC. Because of the sound road network infrastructure which we have, because we have anchor clients already, there are some mines already in Botswana. And some South African companies also find it lucrative, for instance, to because of the ease of doing business which we offer, add value in Botswana and re-export back into South Africa because we are one market. Yeah, because of the benefits which we highlighted, I mean, a very competitive corporate tax of 15%, which can be further discounted if you are in the Spedu region, if you are a SESA company, don't have any exchange controls, Forex is easily available, duty-free importation of machinery, the market access agreements which we have. So sometimes We are just 375 kilometers from Gauteng, the hub of South Africa. You can easily do business profitably, viably in Botswana and re-export back into South Africa.
Just wanted to speak to, maybe if you could unpack for us, the bilateral agreements between SA and Botswana, and, you know, if there are any that are close to the fingertips, and, you know, because it can point to some opportunities that business can jump onto in order to grow or, you know, venture into other sectors as well.
Yeah, no, like the High Commissioner indicated in a welcome address, we have 40 areas of corporations which have already been entered into. 40. So in terms of crime, our police and South Africa police work very well in combating cross-border crime. We collaborate in terms of trade and industry. Mind you, we are members of the Southern Africa Customs Union. So we negotiate trade agreements as a block with your Mercosur, your EPA, your EU.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are that joined at the hip. And there are others, like in transport, we want to partner together. This was one of the take-homes from the Binational Corporation, which we hosted last year in Botswana, to build the Lephalale railway link, which will unlock our coal potential and link us with the Lephalale rail link, the bulk of which railway which needs to be developed is in Botswana. So both countries have agreed that that railway link should go ahead. So there are many areas of cooperation between both countries. And like the High Commissioner's speech has indicated, there are 14 areas of cooperation which are under negotiation.
Oh, wow. So we could see over 50.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually quite a serious one.
Our level, we have MOUs with the promotional agencies, our counterpart organizations here, like Gauteng Growth Development Agency. We exchange delegations. Yeah, West Grow, Trade and Invest KwaZulu-Natal. We work together. Sometimes some of their companies want to export into Botswana. We link them up with potential buyers and vice versa. Share information. If I don't subscribe to certain databases and they have, like who owns who, I can give them an inquiry. Can you research these companies for me? And we work as a team. Yeah.
All right. I think where we can end off today's discussion, and I guess in the same vein, is when you look at a lot of the discussion around something like your Africa Free Trade Continental Agreement, is that something that, you know, excites you in terms of being able to bring more business into Botswana? Or do you sort of see the mechanisms around that being a bit too far off for you to reliably look at them today as an area of opportunity?
We cannot afford to be left behind. Yeah. Because of just the small market that we have of 2.3 billion. We need to be part of the bigger collective.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the benefits which we have as an investment location, they are therefore allow us, if we are part of this agreement, to say, look, come to Botswana, use us as a base because of the economic stability and the good investment climate that we offer, to penetrate and have market access to the population of 1.3 billion. And if you were part of the AGOA forum, which South Africa hosted last year in November, they were even talking about what is the nexus between AGOA and ACFTA.
Yeah.
How do you use the ACFTA to attract more investment from the US? How do you use the ACFTA to empower women? How do you use the ACFTA to address the infrastructure gap which Africa has? Which is hundreds of billions required to build dams, roads, connect electricity in Africa. So you, no man is an island. We need to be part of this so that we grow symbiotically as a continent. So we are pro ACFTA.
Definitely. I think one of the interesting stats I recently read is that just in telecoms, they estimate that there's an infrastructure deficit of about $100 billion just on the telecoms piece, you know, on the continent. Tawana, anything, you know, any concluding thoughts just to end off today's discussion?
I think for us as a business and as a part of the African economy and embracing the AFCTA, we have got a presence in, we've got 47 offices across the continent. And globally, we are in an excess of 90 countries and employing over 40,000 people. And like in Botswana, our CEO mentioned, we are employing in excess of 200 employees, and we've got offices in, you know, 8 different locations, which gives us the opportunity to support business, to support the government. And in terms of the services that we offer, from an audit, from a tax and advisory services. So we're here to support business, we're here to grow with them, and we can leverage off our global and Africa presence in order to launch them into their destiny. Yeah.
All right. So that's where we end off.
Before you end, let me take this opportunity to thank Fovius Mazars for a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
And for partnering with us in this important initiative of positioning Botswana as a hub for investment destined to sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
And just for your information, let you know that we collaborate with advisory firms like them to sell or market the International Financial Service Center.
Yeah.
That is why their presenter was unpacking it from a tax perspective. Because when some of these clients come and they need to put together the proposal for IFSC certification, they are better placed being addressed or helped by advisory firms like Fovius Mazars.
Yeah.
And as part of preparing for this event, I also learned that they have a coding school.
School.
Yeah, because of the unemployment challenges which we have, where we have even degree holders, well-schooled in ICT discipline, being unemployed, we would want to explore that further with them in terms of how they can assist us, capacitate them to work for the Googles, the Amazons of this world, from the comfort of their homes in Botswana. Yeah, so this is one big take home which we want to see to finality with Fovius Mazars, so that because we are competent that we have capable kids who can work from the comfort of their homes in Botswana and service all these IT giants, multinationals from Botswana, so that we mitigate this unemployment problem which we have in Africa. So this is something which I'm going to follow up with for his mothers. Why not have that college in Botswana as well?
All right. That's where we end off. It has been great just understanding the opportunities that are available, you know, in Botswana, and some of the efforts that are being made by private sector players to enable all of that, you know, to happen, and the collaborative process that is happening between government and the private sector to grow that particular economy. Some of the key things that Mr. Senosi was making understood to us is the fact that Botswana has actually come up with an economic roadmap that is being used to actually grow the country in a number of different sectors and areas, You know, whether we're talking about agriculture, mining, manufacturing, financial services, you know, and others, and that, you know, they also see their geographic location as also being an advantage as well. Land mass is also another example that, you know, he gave us to say we have huge advantage given the size of our nation, and also some of the tourism assets that he also pointed at. Also just talking about, I guess, the stance of the country to get its name, you know, more known, you know, around the world. Also letting us know that the president is the chief marketer, you know, of the country, and that they have agencies, you know, that are, you know, both internal, but also working with, you know, sister agencies around the world to make
and
sure.
And our embassies.
And the embassies.
23 embassies all over the world. Because their focus is not only on political diplomacy now. These days, economic diplomacy is taking precedence as well.
Yes. Yeah. So all of that in an effort to just make sure that, you know, more people know about Botswana. But I think the key message, you know, is to say that, you know, if you can't do business in Botswana, then I think you complete the saying for us.
And we've always been open for business.
Great.
Thank you.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.